Welcome to Rooted and Radiant. I'm your host, Jan Harrison. Here we seek to root ourselves in the life-giving Word of God and cultivate spiritual fruit that radiates Jesus in and through us. So many greats throughout Scripture spent countless years of their lives in a wilderness. Whatever the landscape or geography or even the term that you desire to use about the wilderness, it is almost always synonymous with a long, lonely, uncomfortable, trying, tested, often very threatening place in your life of challenge and change. Let me give you just a few examples. Abraham was a non-believer. Abraham was a man that God picked up and chose. He called Abraham's name. And when he called his name, he said, "Abraham, I want you to go to a place that I will show you." It was an unknown place. It was an unfamiliar place. But God had promises and God had so much to do in and through Abraham. You can begin to read that in Genesis chapter 12 and follow this amazing man, this regular man, and how he grew and how God used him so that he would become known as the father of nations. And then there's Moses, the baby that was put in a basket, whose mom put him in the edge of the river. And he was picked up and adopted into Pharaoh's house. Eventually, Moses had to run from Pharaoh because he murdered a man. And for 40 years, he lived in the wilderness. Moses had his moment with God, it says, on the backside of the wilderness when God appeared to him in a burning bush, a bush that was on fire that did not burn up. If you read the life of Moses, you will find that this man who is known as the most humble man that ever lived became a deliverer of God's people, led them through a wilderness for 40 years. You can read the story in 1 and 2 Samuel of David. David that you may know as a shepherd boy. David that you may know of as the young man that went to check on his brothers and found himself facing a giant named Goliath. David went on to become the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. But he spent many, many years anointed to be the king, but waiting in the wings, hiding, fighting, striving, surviving in the wilderness until God made the way. We know about Jesus, and the time on earth was largely spent in the wilderness. You can read those stories through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find him walking from Jerusalem through the wilderness to Samaria, down through the wilderness of Judea, back and forth, traversing the land where he would be called Savior to few, recognized as Son of God by a very, very small group of people. He took his disciples with him. They spent 3 years of ministry in the wilderness. There's Paul, who was converted on the road to Damascus, present-day Syria in Acts chapter 9. That's a wilderness. He went on to receive visions and revelations of the third heaven. That's paradise. Some of our most vivid descriptions of the things to come and the things to expect come from Paul's time in the wilderness of Arabia. And then there's John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. In the very last book of the Bible, the disciple who was exiled on the island of Patmos alone to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ and the end of all times. The wilderness is a place that God wants to speak personally. He wants to speak prophetic words. He wants to speak promises. He wants to show you glimpses of paradise in your own life. Would these people have chosen to go to those wilderness places? Probably not. Did they save up or dream about or put the wilderness on their bucket list? No. But if you asked any of them if they would dare to turn back, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11 over and over and over again, when people make a step in faith to follow God wherever He leads, it is not wasted and they do not come up short. Does God have words for you? Does He have work to do in you, work to do through you? Does He desire to reveal His will for your life and for the purposes that He has for you in the wilderness? Yes, I believe from my own life and the life of the stories that we've heard and we've shared, who have all taken us on some of their side trips into the wilderness, that every single one of them would say, yes, the trip to the wilderness was painful, but the trip to the wilderness has been so profitable in my spiritual life. The wilderness must have value and worth, because we're told in Isaiah 45, verses 2 and 3, that it yields treasures and benefits, that we can expect to have treasures from the darkness. What are those treasures? When you're in a dark place, a lonely place, an uncomfortable place, an ugly place, a disappointing place. For the person right now who's sitting there going through a really deep, hard valley in your life, I encourage you to look for, to keep your eyes, to keep your heart open to the treasures that God wants to show you from the wilderness, His presence, His plan for the next step, His provision that He wants to reveal to you along the way. There are benefits to be found there. Could it be possible that your wilderness has treasures that you never would receive if the journey had not taken you to this dry, scorched, barren land? Yes, it's a land of heartache. Yes, it's a land of hurt. Yes, it's a land of humbling. Yes, it's very often a place of breaking and bleeding. But God wants to give you the same treasures that He has proven time and time and time again. The riches of heaven can't be plunged. He never runs dry. He never runs out. He can meet you where you are. If you would like to go to Psalm 78, it's such a great example of something I just want to share and leave you with to think about and to ponder and to pray over. It's a psalm that shows us how kind God is, even when we resent and rebel against the places that He takes us. As you read through the first few verses, is a recollection of the history. The psalmist wrote it to preserve the things that God had done for His people in the past. And I just want to encourage you. God has preserved you through your own personal history. When I think back on my personal history, when I think back to the time when I committed my life to the Lord, at first I was tempted to believe that He had been nowhere until that day. And then as I sat and as I began to think, I was reminded of the people He had put in my life, of the examples I had watched, of the words I had heard taught, of Sunday school lessons, of little songs learned here and there, The things that I thought were just common, everyday things, God began to show me they were part of my history. And I could find confidence that His eye was on me. He was searching for me. And in His appointed time and in His appointed place, He called me to Himself. So take some time today to look back and ask yourself how God has preserved you until this day. He also has protected you. He's protected you and He protected Israel. When you were misused, when you were misunderstood, when you made multiple mistakes, and most of us are living some of the consequences of mingling our lives in the world, exactly what Israel did. I created some of my own mess. All of us have created the circumstances and the consequences that sometimes have led, oftentimes have led, to this wilderness place. But God has still promised His presence, and He has protected, because here you sit. His presence is with you when you can see it and when you can't. That's a fact. God is watching over. He watched over Israel in a cloud by day. Some people recognized the power in that cloud, but there were a million people. They didn't all recognize it at the time. He watched over them as a fire by night. Some recognized it and some were not impressed or concerned or reverent or respectful to the power that resided in that fire. Nevertheless, God was present over His children. So nevertheless, wherever your faith finds you today, I'm reminding you that God is present with you. He loves you. He made you. He placed eternity within you. He's hovering over your life right now, wooing and drawing and speaking, telling you today that He is present with you no matter how alone, how isolated, how dark, how depressed, how difficult, how much opposition you may be standing against. The presence of God is with you. He has patience and He has kindness, and He continues to call and invite you to come near. All of these things, the preservation, the protection, the presence, and the patience of God, are clearly shared through Psalm 78. And then we get down to verse 17, and the psalmist is recording all of the times and the places and the things God has done for His people. And it says, but they sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. The wilderness is so uncomfortable. The wilderness is so threatening. The wilderness of our lives is so scary. How do we rebel? Israel became picky. It says, by rebelling against the God Most High, they tested them in their heart. Maybe we don't always say it. Maybe we don't always put words to it. But they kept asking, it says, for the food of their fancy. They were being picky. What God had given them, what God had done for them, how God had preserved and protected and provided and led them. It wasn't enough. They didn't like what He gave them. They didn't like the circumstances. Even though He had brought water from a rock, even though He had provided a leader, He had provided protection, He had watched over them, they were picky. We might not think of ourselves as picky people, but when we begin to question and challenge and accuse God of being unfair and being unkind and being unconcerned. Don't you realize that this is not what I had in mind for my life, Lord? Don't you realize that this hurts? Don't you care about what's happening in my life? Don't you care about what's happening to my children, to my marriage? Don't you care that my job is falling apart? God, don't you care that people are hurting all over the world, and we accuse him and we challenge him? Is this the best you can do? Let me give you an example how we often hear people say, well, if God is a God of love, how could he let this happen to you? We're challenging his sovereignty. We're challenging his word, challenging who he says he is. And we're failing to trust that he knows what he's doing. And the route that he's taking in our lives is for our good and his glory. And he is able to bring treasures from the darkness. And he is not bound by our time frame or our circumstances or our failures. And he wants to show us his faithfulness in the midst of it all. But when we gripe and we complain and we resist and we rebel, God hears it all. He hears those mumbles and those grumbles in our heart. And it's not that he can't take them, but it goes on in verse 19 to say, yes, they spoke against God, and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Now, I want to ask you that very same question. If things don't look the way you thought they would or thought they should right now, if doors have been closed and opportunities seem lost, if someone today is struggling with sickness or divorce or heartache or abandonment or any number of threats that we could name that all of us go through at different times, the question we all have to ask ourselves is, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And it goes on to say, behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? I want to encourage you to go back through any one of these scriptures or any one of these people that might speak to you. This week, ask yourself, God, can you provide a table for me in my wilderness? It's easy to say, yes, I believe he can, but the truth might be more in our hearts. But will you? God desires to set that table. We often repeat Psalm 23. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Today, someone is sitting in the presence of an enemy, the enemy of your soul, an enemy that you may be able to name, an enemy in your wellness, in your finances, in your family. Someone that's trying to undermine and tear down and break apart. Perhaps you need to examine the condition of your heart. Matthew chapter 13 or Luke chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the heart. And he told us that the condition of our heart is either hard or rocky or thorny or good. I'm going to encourage you to go there and read that. This week, pray. Pray very specifically. God, I want to know the condition of my heart. I don't want to speak against you, because Psalm 78 says, therefore, the Lord heard this, all of this complaining, all of this murmuring, all of these prickly conditions that they were putting on him. And this is what it says. He was furious. I don't want to go through the wilderness alone. I don't want to go through the wilderness without finding the treasures that are there. I don't want the wilderness to be a barren wasteland. We've heard testimonies that have already shared with us the beauty and the blessing. So this week, as you read the word, as you sit in his presence, as you ask him to examine your heart and help you to cultivate that good soil so that you can receive the word with meekness and with gladness, I want to also remind you that he has preserved you. He is protecting you. His presence is with you as long as you call on him. His patience is towards you, and you will hear, just as that list of the heroes of faith says, that he revealed his promises to those people. God wants them to become familiar people in your own life, and you'll begin to draw examples and courage from their lives. God has promises for you, personal promises to meet you in this place. He will prepare a table in the wilderness. I want to just close by praying for you. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are able to set the table by your good and gracious and kind and loving hand. Father, I pray for the person who feels seated in front of the enemy. I pray that she would have a revelation of your presence in such a powerful way. I pray for the person that you identify, God, as having a picky heart. They don't really like what you've put in front of them. Father, I've been there. I thank you that you were patient. I thank you that you showed me that if I would trust you with what you placed before me, that I could believe for and I would see your goodness in the land of the living. So God, I just pray you'll use these words, that you'll continue to use your word as only you can to feed your people, to give them meat to satisfy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me on Rooted and Radiant. Now let's all go cultivate our spiritual lives to become rooted in the Word of God and radiate His joy.